And now,
ladies and gentlemen,
let me introduce
the Bob and Sherry Show.
Our policy is get married as early and as often as you possibly can.
Yeah. With Sherry.
You know that moment where you can't bear to look in the mirror?
And Bob.
I see it every day at 5 a.m.
And now, from the Palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
We're going to put two pieces of news together because they belong together and make perfect sense. And the first piece of news is that waking up to an alarm clock causes social jet lag and people don't like it and they're tired and grumpy and it makes their life sad. And these experts say you shouldn't wake up to an alarm clock. Now, the problem is if I don't wake up to an alarm clock, I don't show up for work anywhere near on time.
That is the problem. Yes.
And that's true for most of us, right? Like you can't, there are those people and we all know at least one person that wakes up naturally at 5:15 a.m. or whatever. But most of us have to wake up with an alarm clock. And when you wake up to an alarm clock, you have what's called social jet lag. It diminishes your life satisfaction and it makes it harder to manage stress, which is none of that you needed somebody to tell you, right? You already knew that, right. You know, dragging all the time is not a life. So at the same time that we're being told, listen, it's really bad for human beings to wake up to an alarm clock, the four-day work week is in front of Congress again. So a congressman out of California has submitted a bill to Congress that would change the legal length of the workday. We've had a 40-hour work week since 1938. I don't know how many people realize that we used to have very few labor laws. And in some places, the labor laws are being unwound again. You cannot explain to me, don't waste your time emailing me defending child labor. Please don't bother. I won't even read it.
I saw that. Yeah.
You know, like if you send me a long, lengthy screed about how eight-year-olds should be allowed to earn a living, I'm just... Life is way too short, Chief. I'm just not going to read it. But the 40-hour work week was put into law back in the 30s. And so we have this congressperson now who says, we need to relook at that because in other countries and cities and places where they've created the four-day work week, everything's better. People are healthier. People are happier. They have lower health insurance use. They have fewer traffic accidents, blah, blah, blah. And it promotes like much healthier living. Let's change the work week from 40 hours to 32 because a 32-hour work week would give us that four-day work week. I don't think this is ever going to happen in this country. How about you?
Well, people in Washington hate each other. It's just the way it is right now. They don't want to compromise. They don't want to work together. So to have such a seismic change, and it would be just that in America's work week. I don't see it happening right now, especially in light of what you were referring to. And I don't want to get the emails either that, you know, very young people who are not even 16,
we call them children.
Allowed, yeah, to go,
use the
to
word
go into
children.
Children should be able to work at various jobs. Now, if you own the business, and I mean, my father had. I gladly did it. Had me washing dishes and bussing tables when I was 12, 13 years old in our restaurant. But that's a different deal with your family. So to make a long story longer, I don't see that happening. I could see the four-day work week happening if more and more companies say, yeah, we're going to do that. But the difference will be, from what you're describing, it's still 40 hours a week. You're going to do 10 hours a day and not 8. That would be the American interpretation of that, I think.
But, you know, in a lot of places where they're doing the four-day work week, they are doing 40 hours. They didn't cut the hours. They just cut back the days. And they did that by eliminating unnecessary things like, you know, not everything has to be a meeting. A lot of meetings could be a conversation or an email, right? And
right.
And they studied their employees and they knew that we just talked about this on the show last week, ways to look busy at work, that for a lot of people, there's a certain portion of every work week where you're just looking busy. You're just watching the clock.
Right.
So in some of the places where they've gone to a 4-day work week, they haven't worked fewer hours. And I think that would be the sticking point here because, man, in American culture, we just pride ourselves on being worked to death. Mm-hmm. Like the busier and the more exhausted you are, it's like a badge of honor, right? So I think what would kill it here is saying, well, we're only going to work 32 hours a week. If you want a four-day work week in America, here's how you get it. You go to management, you go, we're going to work 50 hours in 4 days instead of 50 hours in 5 days. They don't want to hear about you working fewer hours. They want to hear about you working more hours.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I saw this documentary of predictions of the 1950s, and I think it was in the early 1950s. And one of the problems, people of the future, that would be us right now, one of the problems they're going to have is they're going to have so much time on their hands, they're not going to know what to do with it, and a boredom will seep in. So we're going to have to figure out some ways, I know, to keep ourselves busy, to be satisfied with our lives. That did not occur.
No. That's science fiction, what you just described.
That's total science fiction.
I can't find any way to fill my leisure time. Like, what? Who do you know that ever says that?
Mm-hmm.
Ever. Mm-hmm. We got morons in the news coming up. We have a really funny new comedian on the scene named Metin Atrushi coming up. We have a great rabbit hole for you. The top five theories about Bigfoot. Suddenly, Bigfoot is back in the news. I guess with UFOs back in the news. Somebody at some newspaper said, oh, man, somebody wake Bigfoot up. It's time. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
So we were just talking about this idea of social jet lag because you have to wake up so early for work and the four-day work week. And Bob was saying how the prediction that Americans would have so much leisure in the year 2023 that we wouldn't know what to do with ourselves is comedy, right? That just did not come to pass. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell you guys about this because it's just, I don't even know where to start. But at my book club last week, we did psychic book club night, which meant we brought a psychic in and she gave each of us a reading. And we did that while we were drinking wine and eating pizza. I had pickle pizza. It was delicious. So one of the things the psychic...
Where did the actual books come into play?
We didn't do books. We didn't do a book this time. This was psychic book club. No book on this one. So one of the things the psychic told me was that I don't have any fun or play or joy in my life. And I was like, well, actually, no, I have a lot of joy in my life. And she said, no, you don't do anything that is just for fun. And I thought about that and it really hit a nerve because it's so, so true. Like she said to me, tell me something you do that's fun. And I was like, well, I really like researching and writing things. So like I can spend hours and hours doing that. She raises an eyebrow at me. I'm like, I like cooking dinner. The other eyebrow, you know. And I sat there for a minute and thought, I have to be honest with myself. I don't, like my work is my fun. And that's probably a sick way to be. Isn't it?
I don't think so. No, it's not at all. Let's go back to the cooking thing. There are people who cook because it just brings great joy to them. It's creative and they have a smile on their face when they're doing it. Now, if you're cooking, you know, three meals a day for yourself and five children every day of the year and there's no break. No, that's not the case. But that isn't your situation. I think cooking could be relaxing for you. And a lot of folks, when they have, they retire, I read about them all the time, they become depressed because they don't have some sort of an outlet that they had at work. And you do, I mean, say what you want about what we do on the air. It is fun. It is creative to a degree. And the writing that you do also is satisfying. There are people that write just because they have to write. So I don't know about that psychic. What does she expect? Let me just go on for a second. Does she expect that her example of doing something for yourself that's pure bliss for yourself would be luxuriating in a hot tub in the back of your house for 45 minutes and just listening to the sounds of nature, going on a hike in a state park that's quiet? Those things are all wonderful. They're all wonderful, but they're not the only things. I think sometimes we have little, when I walk the dog, it gives me great pleasure. For some people, it would be a pain. You're worried about, you know, is he peeing on somebody's bushes? Are you picking up after and all of that? Those two things don't give me pleasure. But being out with him for 45 minutes or an hour is lovely. I mean, it's beautiful. You're outside.
I hear what you're saying, but she was telling the truth. I can't even tell you the last day that I did not work. I took a day where I did absolutely nothing connected to my job. I can't remember. Christmas would probably be that day. Christmas Day was probably
the last day that I didn't work.
And some of that is, like, some of that is, you know, it's just in my nature. And some of it is I'm self-employed. And so when you're self-employed, you're constantly like grinding your teeth and work. And we do the show is just the one thing that we do. It's the tip of the iceberg of what we do. The bulk of my day is doing other things. Like, this is the fun part of my day. And the bulk of my day is doing other things. And so I thought about it for a while and I was like, yeah, I need to do some fun things. I need to play pickleball or bingo or take up like kayaking. Like, I need to get a fun thing. Like, look at Max and Bridget. They take those schnauzers and they put Johnny little sweaters on them and they take them on these like crazy long, beautiful hikes in the woods.
What happened to your needlepoint?
Oh,
what happened
to
your needlepoint?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm still needlepointing.
There's one for you. Would that not be fall into the category of being pleasurable?
It's very pleasurable, but it's not what she was talking about. And so I'm really giving it a lot of thought because I had Psychic Book Club, and then I read these articles about social jet lag, and I thought, girl, you're a boring workaholic.
Social jet lag is a real thing. You know what you should do? Here's what you should do. You got that needlepoint going, and then you look at it and you say, you know, I'm getting exhausted doing this. Hire some 12-year-old to finish your knitting for you. You know, get your own little factory going.
Bob,
here.
You were anti-child labor just a few minutes ago.
I'm being facetious. I'm being facetious, referring back. Yeah.
We got morons in the news straight ahead. Been working hard on that one for you. If you're a fan of Harry Potter, this one's going to make you think of Hedwig, the magical owl. It's Bob and Sherry.
Do it. Let's go. Go. Bob and Sherry.
Idiot!
With morons in the news.
Okay, so when I say Paul Blart, what comes to mind?
Mall cop on a Segway.
Right. And just kind of a buffoon, at least kind of a comical sort of character. Not all the time. Every company, every mall should have this guy working for them. Pennsylvania State Police are investigating after a security guard was dragged by a truck while chasing after a suspect who allegedly stole a giant foam carrot from an Easter display. Troopers at the state barracks were dispatched to Center Township, Pennsylvania, the mall there. The mall's name is Clearview Mall. The mall security guard, who was on duty at the time, told the troopers that he chased the suspects into a dark red Chevy pickup truck with a giant foam carrot they had stolen from the mall's Easter display. They just grabbed the carrot and they ran toward the dark red Chevy pickup truck in the parking lot near the Texas Roadhouse restaurant. When the security guard tried to open the door of the truck, he was dragged a quarter of a mile at approximately 35 miles per hour, and he would not let go. Eventually, he had to, and the truck sped away. Thank God. This guy must be iron. He was not injured in the incident. He was dragged for a quarter of a mile, 35 miles an hour. This guy is fantastic. They're asking for information. Contact the state police. You know, these are the morons. You know these people are going to get caught because they're right outside a Texas Roadhouse and a mall. There are cameras everywhere. They've already figured out what the license plate number is. These cops are going to get them. But my point is, that guy is a super employee. And if he doesn't get, you know how they have like different ranks in those security guards? If that guy doesn't go up to lieutenant, there's something wrong.
I completely understand the temptation to have the giant foam carrot, though.
Yeah,
I have true. To be honest. I mean, that really, that makes cool. a statement in your condo. All right. Today's moron of the day is going out to all you Harry Potter fans. Wildlife rescuers were searching for an owl that was trapped inside the walls of a home. And volunteers went to the home because they could hear sounds of a bird that was clearly an owl coming from inside the wall. The residents could find no way that this owl would have gotten into the wall. So volunteers were on their way to the home to break through the walls and rescue the bird when the homeowner called a second time and said, "We figured it out. It is an owl, but it's not a real owl. It's a stuffed talking Hedwig owl from the Harry Potter movies." And the sounds that we're hearing are the sounds that the toy is making. The rescuers said, "All's well that ends well. It wasn't right. a real bird, and it was rescued, and everybody loves Harry Potter." We'll get this story posted up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook so you can check it out. Now, they never did explain, and I tried to figure out, how did the Hedwig doll get shoved into the wall?
I was wondering.
And who turned it on and let it go? No good answer for that, of course. And finally, in morons in the news today, if you've not seen this in your news feed, this will really get your attention. A lion was swimming in a river and he paused to rest on a rock. This is in the Kruger National Park in Africa. The hippos who live in that river surrounded the rock where the lion was. They were agitated. They were circling. Lions are not great swimmers. So nobody knows why this lion, it must have been thirsty and hot, got into this river, but it got stranded on this rock. And the hippos are circling. And suddenly, one of the really big hippos goes for the lion. Because hippos are like vegetarians, but forget the movie Fantasia. They're hostile, the aggressive, angry creatures. Yeah.
They're one of the most dangerous animals on the face of the earth. Yeah.
They're like my dad. They just hate. So one of these hippos goes for the lion, and the lion jumps into the river to escape the hippo. At the exact moment, another hippo dives for the lion. But by some stroke of luck and miracle, the second hippo also missed the lion. You have never seen a cat move so fast to get out of a body of water in your life. Ended well. The hippos went hungry. The lion got away. And that is some kind of crazy nature stuff right there. That is morons in the news coming up. Everyone needs a laugh. Bigfoot, small plates, the Bob and Sherry box office, and flawless Midwestern manners. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
Well, a motorist in Maine got caught up in the state's crackdown on inappropriate vanity tag license plate. This is a family in Augusta, Maine. And this is happening all over the country. States are cracking down on what you can have for a vanity tag. And for a lot of years in the state of Maine, because Maine is a freedom-loving state, man. You were allowed to put just about anything you wanted on your vehicle vanity tag, including some stuff that is not allowed in other states. But this year, the Maine legislature said, you know what? Nah, we're going to make some changes. And they reached out to 274 people and said, "We're recalling your license plate because it's inappropriate. You have to get a new one." And one of the people that they reached out to was a guy in Augusta named Peter Starostecki, who is a vegan. And he's had this license plate for a while, because it expresses, he said, "My protest against eating meat and animal products." His license plate is LUVTOFU.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
TOFU. He loves means tofu, to say but, love tofu.
Yeah.
But it sure looks like something else to the folks like behind him in traffic.
I saw the same thing. I've seen. Yeah, I know he's fighting it. I've seen the play. What do you think? If you're the head honcho who decides whether or not something's inappropriate in the state of Maine on a license plate, what's your call?
I feel like he should be allowed to keep it. I do.
I do too.
I think that we're all grown-ups here, and you know he loves tofu. And what does it say about you that when you get behind him in traffic, your mind goes to such dirty places instead of pressed bean curd as it should?
Have they already made the decision that he can't have that?
No, not yet. They've offered him another license plate, V3GAN, vegan, but he said, "I'm done. I'm done with even fighting with you. I'm just going to get a regular plate." But he could continue the appeal. He just doesn't. He doesn't have
it
the
is
energy.
Funny. It is funny though to look at it.
Love tofu.
Because there are two ways. Yeah, right.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
It's time now for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Matin Atrushi.
Guys, I went to the worst escape room ever. It's called IKEA. If you've ever had someone missing in your life, they're there. I always get lost at IKEA. I found a security guard. I'm like, dude, can you help me get out of here? He's like, bro, I've been lost here since Halloween. This is a costume. I see dead people. I have an addiction that's ruining my life. I feel like I can be honest. Okay? It's hard for me to talk about. It's called Costco. Costco is the only place you try to save money by spending everything that you have. My friends brag to me about shopping at Costco. They're like, man, come here. Check this out. I saved so much money, I lost my house. I'm sleeping on toilet paper. I need help. That's why they pack your stuff in cardboard boxes before you leave. They know you're gonna be homeless. There's certain things that don't make sense at Costco. They have all those clothes for sale, but no dressing room to try them on. So I'm in the frozen food section taking off my pants. There's some things you just don't need to buy in bulk. I bought ketchup. I'm giving it out for Halloween. There's one reason I love Costco, and I want you guys to clap if you're on board. It's those food samples. Do you guys agree? Yes. Yes. You guys are my kind of crowd. I love those samples. It's where I take all my first dates. And anytime I see those free samples, I ask questions I never normally ask. I'm like, oh, are these organic? My cart is filled with beef jerky and cigarettes. That is all I'm buying. And anytime I eat one of those free samples, I always act overly excited. Like I'm trying not to hurt their feelings. Because my reaction is so ridiculous, I sound like an idiot. I put one in my mouth, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. What do you call it? Dorito. It's a good Dorito. There's one place I wish they had free samples that they don't, the pharmacy. That would be awesome. Because you don't know what you're going to get. My reaction would also be ridiculous. I put one in my mouth, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. What do you call it? Birth control. Can I get another one? It's for my neighbor. He's sleeping on toilet paper.
That is Matin Atrushi. And you can find his set at BOBANDSHERI.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter. We send it once a month, never spam you. And there's all sorts of stuff in there. There's contests and prizes and videos and just all kinds of neat stuff at BOBANDSHERI.com, where you'll also find the Bob and Sherry store. If you are a stressed out, intense person, great news. the Bob and Sherry coloring book, It's Always Something, is waiting there for you. It is the coloring book for frazzled adults. The coloring book that keeps it real at BOBANDSHERI.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
The Fun Size Podcast, a shareable taste of the show at our website or the free Bob and Sherry app.
Okay, here's a story that is going to really resonate with a lot of us. And this is the hero we need for 2023. A woman in New York City named Kimberly Nguyen. She's a UX writer. She helps companies with the user experience of products. So it's everything from how it's packaged and labeled and all blah, 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 blah. That's not the important thing. The important thing is she has worked for this company for a good long bit now, and she has asked for a raise. And of course, you know, the company can't really deal with the pay inequality program. You know, she said, I've told my managers multiple times, I know I'm being underpaid. And they know that this is a tough labor market, and they still said, you know, we just can't manage to adjust the pay scales so that everyone's getting paid what they're worth. And she said they talk a lot about diversity and equity and inclusion. They talk about bringing women into the workforce. They talk about creating opportunities. And then they went on LinkedIn and they posted an opening in her company for her same job, because they're growing, so they need more UX writers. And the new position pays almost $90,000 more than she's currently being paid.
Whoa!
So here's what she did. Here's why she's our hero. She was like, oh, that looks like a great position. She applied for it.
Did she use a fake name to apply for it?
No, ma'am. She applied as herself, her resume, her current employer being the same place. She said that the next day they called an emergency meeting and the job post was taken down, and then they posted it up again. And she said she has not yet heard whether or not she's going to get an interview. She said that it was an internal posting and it wasn't meant for anyone to apply externally. But that, she said, that doesn't solve the fact that, okay, you're going to hire from within and pay the position that much more. And then she was told that no one in the company is getting a raise and they may be laying people off, and yet they're posting the same jobs that these people do for higher pay. And you know, this happens at businesses every day. There are people listening right now screaming because they are in that exact same position that this woman is in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've seen it in our business where somebody is a program director on a television station, and he's been there since he was in college. So they hired him for next to nothing, but he was really good at it. And there's someone that I'm thinking of, and you know who he is. And then he wants to become like the station manager, and they won't give him a shot. After, you know, he's been with the same place for, you know, 15 years, they won't give him a shot. He goes away and he becomes a manager at another station someplace else in another city. And they go, whoa. And 2 years later, they offer him the job that he originally wanted. Because you never love who you, it's like you don't take members of your family sometimes seriously. When they get like a really good, important gig or get into medical school, because you knew them when they were knuckleheads.
A friend of mine works for a company that has branches all like in 8 or 9 different states, right? And so everyone who does her job, they were all brought together in a different city for a conference. And the company did what we do when we go to Podcast Movement. They didn't put them in a hotel. They rented an Airbnb so that they could all stay together and have a team building weekend. So you can picture it, right? So they go to the conference stuff during the day, and at night they're back at the Airbnb having team building time. Well, team building involved cocktails. And after 3 or 4 rounds of those, somebody came up with the idea, because they all do the same job but in 8 different places. Somebody said, let's write our salaries down on a piece of paper, no names, and put it in this bowl in the center of the table. And then we'll take the pieces of paper out and we will compare. And that's what they did. and the range was staggering.
Is that right?
Like there was $60,000 difference between the highest Whoa. Paid person and the lowest paid person. And they all have the same job, all roughly the same experience. And before you go, well, but are some of them in New York City and some of them are in Crackerville? Uh-uh. Nobody's in New York City. They're all in roughly equivalent in terms of cost of living kinds of places.
And their output was roughly the same too. I mean, their individual offices and divisions or whatever were doing as well as everybody else's.
Yeah. I mean, this is, they work in the nonprofit world. So this isn't Wall Street, right?
Right.
They all have the same job, the same title. Everybody in that room had the same title and they all did the same things. And it wasn't like a little bit of a difference. Like, well, Caitlin's been here longer. $60,000 is a big swing.
Yeah.
So, and this happens, everybody who's worked in corporate America knows that this happens all the time.
I can give a company a pass when they give a little more money to somebody who's been, with that company for a longer period of time because it shows dedication, stability for the company. You know, I can see paying somebody else a little bit more for seniority, but $60,000 or $90,000 a year, that's a lot more.
Woo. That's a lot more. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up, lots more Bob and Sherry, including the Bob and Sherry box office game. It is Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry go.
Down the rabbit hole.
From the show that's all about animals, pizza, what's wrong with our spouses, and the song Jolene, this is the jam you need for your Tuesday commute. This is a band called Southern Raised, and they are sitting outside in the sunshine with their bluegrass instruments, doing Dolly Parton right.
Your beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like the breath of spring, your skin is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. And I can easily understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene. Talks about you in his sleep. There's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. Jolene, 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 Jolene. Oh, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 Jolene. Please don't take him. This talk with you, my happiness depends on you, and whatever it is sad to do, Jolene. And you could have your choice of men, but I could never love again, cause he's the only one for me, Jolene.
doing Dolly Proud. What'd you think, Bob?
Yeah, great harmony. I mean, a wonderful lead singer, obviously. I love the violin part, too. That it's a very, obviously, it's a very poignant song. The violin really
The lead singer is also the fiddle player.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. It's
what
just,
a gifted woman. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's so fun. I'm going to post the video up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. What must it be like to be Dolly Parton and see that there are so many different ways to cover that? How old is that song? And it's as relevant this instant as it was the day she wrote it. Just
That's right.
Incredible piece of music. All right, we'll get that up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook coming up. We've got the top and most exciting theories about Bigfoot. We've got an episode of Small Plates for you, the Bob and Sherry box office. This is Bob and Sherry.
Come on down to the Bob and Sherry store with all kinds of great merchandise.
Color me curious.
Including the Bob and Sherry coloring book. A coloring book for exhausted adults.
You know what? I'm exhausted. You exhaust me.
Color your stress away. 50 fun images with lots of snarky slogans.
That's correct.
Order them for your friends and neighbors. Makes a great gift for mom on Mother's Day.
That's music to a mother's ears.
Or anytime. Get it today. Just hit the shop tab at bobandsherry.com.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
We changed up our usual routine around here because we're just wild animals and went out for date night on Monday night instead of Wednesday night. So we're out getting Mexican food at this little place near our house. And the restaurant wasn't real crowded. And there were two women sitting right next to us at the next table. And I'm looking at the menu. And I promise y'all, I was not trying to eavesdrop. But I overheard the greatest thing that I've heard in a restaurant in a long, long time.
Let's hear it.
The one woman is, and I don't know if they were friends or sisters or what, but the one woman said to the other woman, she said, "Let me tell you what I figured out. You can vacuum up lizards. And it doesn't hurt them a bit. And you just take them outside and dump the lizards and they run away." So my ear immediately is like, we're vacuuming live lizards. So I scoot my chair just a little bit closer. And the other woman goes, "Hey, what does that mean?" And the lizard lady goes, "Yeah, I mean, they're always in the house. There's so many of them. I just vacuum them up. Doesn't hurt them a bit. Take them outside. Dump the canister. Everything's fine." I waited.
Well, good
they
for
left.
Her. I mean, that's when you get right down to it, that is a very tender soul who is doing that to save our
lizard
friends.
I have no criticism. Yeah. She made my whole freaking day. Are you kidding?
I bet.
What I love about it is people are living unimaginable lives all around you.
Right.
People have challenges you can't imagine. Like this lady, this really nice lady, is overrun by lizards for some reason to the point where she's vacuuming them up. Do you know how many lizards you have to have? They're skittish creatures. When they see
you
coming,
I have them in my house. Yeah,
yeah.
They get into my house once in a while. They're outside on the deck all the time. There was, and you could. I took some video. You could see his little neck blowing up.
Oh yeah, but they're skittish, Bob. They don't typically stand still while you come at them with the Hoover. There are enough lizards in this lady's house that she's backing them up alive. And dumping them out. And then after the server brought my drink, I thought, maybe these lizards, this is like freaking Six Flags over Lizard Land. These lizards have told other lizards, like, you got to come to this place, man. You're there. And then this giant machine comes at you. It's the ride of a lifetime. Come on. And maybe that's why she's overrun. I do need to get out more, but look what happens when I get out. This is what happens. I loved it. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
Okay, it's talk back time. If you want to hit the phone right now at 844-52-SHERI, that's 844-52-SHERI, or you can grab our app. It's free. Look for the little microphone in the bottom center of the screen. When you tap it and talk, the app will automatically do the rest. Now, we have a pair of messages. We're sending this out as a special dedication to everyone out there who's in love. You're in love. And you're planning your wedding. And you've never been married before, so it's your very first and hopefully your only marriage. And you probably have all sorts of ideas about what married life is like and how fun and romantic and how your marriage is going to be so different from other people's with their boring squabbling and never doing anything but sitting on the couch and watching Netflix. No, y'all gonna be different. We're dedicating this talk back to you.
Hey, Bob and Sherry, this is Jenny from Apex. I am way behind in my podcasts, but I'm listening to the one from Valentine's Day or around Valentine's when you guys were talking about the red flags that, you know, you should have noticed while you were dating, and I had to share mine. I should have paid attention when I was dating my ex-husband and we heard gunfire and he used me as a human shield. So luckily it was only a paintball gun that some kids were pranking people with, but I did get shot with a paintball and he hid behind me. So, yay.
I don't know what to say about that.
Chivalry.
I don't know what to say.
On its last legs in that one.
Do you think that Mary Lacey would ever let me forget that if I used her as a human shield?
You would need to just go ahead, pack some things, and head west. Start over.
Exactly. It's just start over. New name.
Start over.
Yeah.
New name. You have some skills. You know, there's some things you know how to do. You just start
that
over.
That didn't sound
whole
too
new life.
Sure. It was
it
was like a question mark with the you have some skills.
Well, it's late in the day for med school, but there are things you know how to do.
What would be my skills, dude?
You should go right into the restaurant business. You know it.
Doing
you love
what?
It. You enjoy it. You could be a maitre d'. Mm-hmm.
I could be a maitre d' in a restaurant.
In Vegas. So, at a fancy restaurant in Vegas.
Uh-huh. I noticed you didn't have me, like, you know, doing the bookkeeping, coming and going.
Well,
the
would
finances
you?
And all.
Would you have you do the bookkeeping?
No, I think I'd do better in a tuxedo with a smile.
I think you greeting people, recommending a wine, sending them to the bar for a cocktail. Tell me you wouldn't be good at that.
The only thing is there'd be a guy who's like the best regular, you know, and he likes to be noticed. And I'm good at, you know, doing the Roberto Mangione thing. Oh, it is so nice to see you again. And then I can't remember his name and he's been here 3 times. Yeah.
You're going to be the maitre d' who's known for giving everyone a nickname every time they come.
Yeah.
That'll be your brand.
That's right.
See, you turn that negative into a positive and you make it work for you.
How's this? Look who's here. The boss is here.
Boom. There you
is
go.
That good? You like that?
Yeah. So you don't have to worry about using Mary as a human shield because you now have a plan.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. I feel much better.
All right. We have another message for you, never married lovebirds.
Hi, Bob and Sherry. This is Margaret from Bakersfield, California, a longtime listener. And I just listened to the segment about the clowns today. And it reminds me of the time that my husband and I stayed at the Clown Motel in Tonopah, Nevada. It was very much a clown theme. And it was supposedly haunted. Sherry would be interested in that. But we did not see any ghosts, and our room was decorated with pictures of Red Skelton as a clown. We stayed there because it advertised a CDL $39.95, and my husband was a truck driver, so we thought that was a great rate for a motel. Clowns or not, we were going to stay there.
Listen, lovebirds, let me tell you what marriage is. Marriage is you trying to get your freak on while Red Skelton looks down at you from the motel wall that you're staying in because your spouse has a discount. That is marriage. That is marriage. Marriage is not champagne in the hot tub overlooking the Eiffel Tower. Marriage is, can you throw a t-shirt over Red Skelton? Because I can't concentrate.
That's right. You know why there are so many ghosts in the Clown Motel? Because so many women killed themselves. Because they had to stay there.
Now, can I say the Clown Motel is on this girl's bucket list?
I know
it. It's going to take me a minute to get Kevin to go there because I made him stay at the Big Texas Steak Ranch with the swinging doors and the cowboy bedspread. And he's still not really over it. So we need to let a little more time go by, but I'm going to the Clown Motel. Thank you,
I wonder if
Jenny,
thank
you, Margaret.
I wonder if it's still there. The Clown
Motel. It is
Motel.
There. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is?
There.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Excuse you, it's a landmark. And listen, when I'm out in Nevada at the Clown Motel, I'll swing by the restaurant where you're working as a maitre d'.
Excellent. I'll greet you. Look who's here.
And Bob will say to her, have you been here before?
Yeah. Right. Oh. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
There's this Australian dietitian that shows up in my news feed all the time. I don't know why. And she's just so like bubbly and she has great skin and she doesn't bully you. Like, you know, some of these influencers, they kind of bully you a little bit. You know, they say things like, do you know what's inside you? And I'm like, yeah, what's inside me is an elderly Sicilian woman who just wants to eat a meatball and be left the hell alone. I am not a champion. Okay. Right. But she's very kind and very gentle. And she said in this last time she propped up in my newsfeed that there are five things that nutritionists and dietitians add to their food every single day. And a lot of it was stuff you knew, like chia seeds, flax seeds, nuts, right? Blueberries, leafy greens. The fifth thing was something that I'd seen at Costco a million times and had never bought because I didn't really know what it was. A bag of hemp hearts. Have you seen hemp hearts yet at the grocery store? Hemp hearts.
I can't do one more of these things to keep myself healthy. Please.
I'm about to give y'all a straight up honest review of hemp hearts. And then it's definitely not for everybody. So most mornings, if I don't eat oatmeal, like sometimes I wake up and the world is so sad and scary and I can't put oatmeal in that. I can't add oatmeal to that sad, scary mix. You know, days you wake up and the world is so sad and scary that you're like, no, Lord, no oatmeal. I'm going to need a Pop-Tart. So on the days when I can't do oatmeal, I take a bowl of frozen blueberries, frozen because that'll freeze the pesticides off of them and they're a lot cheaper and they don't go bad. So frozen blueberries, to which I add 2 tablespoons of chia seeds and 2 handfuls of crushed up walnuts and a tablespoon of flax seeds. And I bought a bag of hemp hearts at Costco because my Australian dietitian friend, who's so nice, told me I should eat them.
What's it like?
And I put them on and I pour some almond milk over that and I eat it. Well, the hemp hearts have a distinctive flavor. And if you are the kind of person who enjoys breakfast that tastes like bong water, I think I have your new jam.
Wow.
The first couple of bites, I was like, there's a definite distinctive taste here. And I couldn't place it. It's like, what does this taste remind me of? Days went by. I'm on like week 2 of adding hemp hearts to everything I can sneak them into. I made banana bread and I threw some in there. And I'm like, what is this taste? What is this taste? And I close my eyes. I'm sitting at the kitchen island. It is like 5:15 in the morning. I close my eyes. And I just let my imagination drift. Like, what does this taste like? And suddenly, I was a freshman in high school peeking into my brother's room while he and his friends were ripping bong hits and listening to Aerosmith's Toys in the Attic. And that is the taste. That is the taste.
What does the substance look like?
Je ne sais quoi of bong water. When it said hemp hearts, I was picturing something that looked like shredded wheat.
Yeah, that's what I have.
It looks like pale yellow with some green accent flakes. Yeah.
Okay.
It's good in banana bread.
It overtakes.
I'm just saying, if you put a couple of spoonfuls on your blueberries, hit it with some almond milk, it's bong water. But you can hide it in banana bread because banana bread is really strong tasting. So, yeah.
That's a big note for me.
Bob, I'm going to counsel you to not do hemp hearts. Not because I don't want you to live forever, but because you'll buy a bag of hemp hearts and you only eat a couple of tablespoons at a time in the Costco size bag.
Oh, yeah.
I've got all garbage the hemp pail. Hearts that Northern California produced that week, okay?
Right.
So it's a big bag. The taste is going to put you off and you're going to say to yourself, I don't care if I'm going to live. It's not worth this.
Yeah. And sometimes you just say that. I mean, how much can a human being do? I'm eating leafy greens every day. I'm eating blueberries every day. I'm trying to knock the pesticides off of them. I can't add one more thing. I'm done. I'm maxed out.
I'm looking for some other things to do with my hemp hearts because they take, it is hard to make blueberries taste like bong water, and they do. So I don't want to, you know, waste. And I forget why the Australian dietitian said we should do this. That's the other problem with this whole situation is I no longer remember why I'm eating these hemp hearts.
So it doesn't help memory.
It's probably omega-3s. No, that's Prevagen, bub. That's jellyfish.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. There's so much to remember.
Yeah.
It's Bob and Sherry.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I don't believe this.
I guess with all the other free-floating weirdness and strangeness happening right now in the world, somebody thought it would be a good idea to bring Bigfoot back up. And so a bunch of stories about Bigfoot hit my newsfeed in the past couple of days. And
I think the timing is right for Bigfoot. I totally
feels
agree.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, coincidentally, this Friday's episode of True Weird Stuff tells the story of a gentleman. His name is Dewey Vaughn. He is a retired member of the United States Air Force. He owns his own business. He's a financial consultant. He's a very serious person. And he, as a child, lived next door to a farmer named Kenneth Tosh in Noxie, Oklahoma. And my Bigfoot aficionados out there, all their spidey senses just went off because Kenneth Tosh's Bigfoot encounter is one of the most famous in all mm-hmm. of the Bigfoot legend. And Dewey yeah. grew up next door to Kenneth Tosh. And his whole life, his family, everything was turned upside down by this experience that Kenneth had. And Kenneth Tosh was a Vietnam veteran and a hardworking farmer and a man of very few words and absolutely no drama. And what happened to him that night in Noxie, Oklahoma in 1973 shook him to the core. And it changed the lives of everyone who knew the man and everyone in that town, including this little boy who grew up to work for the U.S. Air Force. He had a top secret clearance. He's a very serious man. And for the very first time ever, he talks publicly about his own Bigfoot experiences this Friday on True Weird Stuff. Everywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify. So here are the current theories on Bigfoot, right? The first theory is that it's a lost species of hominin. And about 10 years ago, there was a press release that genetic testing had been done on hair and various other things that had been found in the woods. And that it showed that Bigfoot was a human relative, that it was a mix of human DNA and some other kind of DNA that was unknown to us. Now, the problem was, it wasn't in like what we call a peer-reviewed journal because none of the real science journals would accept the article. And so the author of this and all this genetic testing was kind of like people rolled their eyes and they made fun of it. But it's still out there floating as a possibility, right? That there is some sort of creature that may have wandered over to North America during the Ice Age and has somehow managed to thrive undetected, you know, in all of this unexplored wilderness. And one of the things we'll talk about in Friday's episode with Dewey is there's a lot more unknown land in America, inaccessible land than you think there is. And anyone that's taken a cross-country flight and looked out a window knows there's a lot of empty space in this country. Another theory is that there are about 2,000 of these creatures in the woods of North America. 2,000 of them, and that explains why you've seen them sighted in just about every state in the country, from Alaska to Utah, Mississippi, New Mexico, South Carolina. Here's another one. The Bigfoot is not actually a flesh and blood creature. It is a Native American nature spirit. Now, this is a very woo-woo theory because There are people that go, I don't believe in Bigfoot, but I have an easier time believing in a lost species than I do a spirit than I can actually see or leave, you know, a footprint of. And of course, the last theory is that it's just one incredibly clever prankster or hoaxer after another. And I can see why skeptics and debunkers love that last one. But the problem with that is nobody ever wants credit for these hoaxes and pranks. And these people are just such skilled hoaxers that they're able to get into relatively inaccessible wilderness, leave their mark, and get back out unseen. So in the episode that we have coming up for True Weird Stuff, you can believe it or not, this man is very credible. He shares photographs that he has, that he's taken. And he is not a person who wants attention. In fact, he's probably going to regret coming on True Weird Stuff because people are going to, you know, make fun of him and tell him that he's hoaxing it. But what does he have to gain? I mean, your thoughts, Max, you spoke to him.
Yeah, he was not a person who was a publicity seeker at all. But he is somebody who truly does believe and has had some experiences. There's a great episode on the latest edition of Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix about Bigfoot in the Navajo Nation. I was kind of like, I've always been a bit skeptical about this one, but I've got to tell you, especially after listening to him and this latest Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix, there's something to it. There's really something to it.
It's been around a long time. It's been around decades. I can remember starting out in radio talking about Bigfoot for a lark. You would think, I am a skeptic. I could see how, oh, look at this blurry photograph that somebody somehow managed to get the profile of Bigfoot going into the woods that everybody has seen. But these days, everybody's got a cell phone. I mean, you are taking pictures of the food that you got. You're getting sent pictures of your son's girlfriend giving you the finger at a frat party. You know, everybody's taking pictures of everything. And yet, still no really clear documentation.
Well, when we drop this episode on Friday, you can go to trueweirdstuff.com and look at Dewey's photos, which are as clear as a bell. I mean, yeah, it's crystal clear.
They're as clear as a bell.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Now, he has track photos. He doesn't have photos of the creature. But what's interesting is these tracks, he's in the mountains of northern New Mexico where there's a lot of snow on the ground.
Right.
These tracks go all the way down to the earth, which only, as he explained it, something pretty heavy with some heat to go all the way down and melt that snow all the way down. And you can see like excavator tracks next to it that don't even go all the way down. Do what you want. Believe, don't believe, roll your eyes.
It sounds like a great episode. And it sounds like Bigfoot is back.
It's compelling. It really is.
He's got a story to tell. We ran out of time, but I put one of his stories up on, I'm putting one of his stories up on the website on Friday because it made the hair stand up on the back of our necks. Anyway, Bigfoot, I'm going to post this up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook and you can hear this first ever telling of this man's experiences Friday on True Weird Stuff. This is Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, oddcast, fun size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Mary and I decided to watch a movie together a couple of nights ago, so we did what every couple does. We sat down and went through about 450 possibilities. None of them were right for us. And we finally gave up and landed on a foreign film called Far Away. And part of it is in Croatian, believe it or not. Part of it's in German, and part of it's in English. So they have subtitles for the German and Croatian. And it's a story of this woman, very attractive woman, probably around 50 years old. Her husband, she's noticing, is showing interest. He's a restaurateur. He's showing interest in a woman who works with him, a very young woman. And she becomes upset. She's inherited a piece of property in the Croatian coast, and she's going to go there to get her head together. And when her daughter asks her, what is it that she looks like? She says, well, she's young. And she has very white teeth. I laughed out loud.
of all things, I mean, that came right out of the blue. And yet, I bet there are certain, when a woman is asked or a man is asked, what is he or what is she like? One thing pops out. And in this case, it was the very white teeth that very often young people have. The husband's side action is very young. She's like 20 years old. It's a terrific movie. It's fun.
I love that line because that is how you respond. You fixate on some small detail that like maybe triggered an insecurity for you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. like you might go, like I might look at her. I might say, well, she's young and she has this perfectly straight, shiny hair. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Something that you don't have. I love that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
So what was it called again? And where did you watch it?
It's on Netflix right now, and it's called Far Away. And boy, is the scenery beautiful. It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
We're going to bring on Jessica. You know, we were kicking around stories about your dog and how much we love our dogs. And yet, they do, on average, $394 worth of damage to our homes every year, and we discovered recently that that's low. Would you say that's low, Jessica?
I would say that's definitely low.
So what kind of a dog do you have?
I have a boxer. She is 15 months old, and her name is Bella.
Bella?
Bella, yep.
Uh-huh. And what did she do?
Bella decided that she was going to eat her kennel apart. We left her in the kennel while we went to work. We came home. She was out of the kennel, and she did not only eat a small hole, she ate the entire side of it out.
Was it one of those plastic ones that, like, snap latches together?
Oh, yes, that's exactly the kind. And it was an extra large kennel, and she's a 50-pound dog, and the hole is, it's enormous.
So it's basically, it's one of those things that you train a dog in. It's a crate, right?
You
call it a crate.
Yeah. A small version, you would carry the dog in it to the vet.
Right,
because Annie has one of those jumbos. It's like a guest room made out of plastic, and she ate one whole wall of that.
Yes, she did, and she eats everything. I mean, this dog has ate plastic bowls, has ate my children's toys, you name it, this dog has ate it. And, I mean, she will end up throwing up these pieces of plastic for a week. And I had to take her to the vet, and they said, well, you know, just watch for blood. If she has any blood, bring her back in here. But she, you name it, that dog eats it.
You know what blows my mind about
a
dog like this?
Good morning to everyone in line for breakfast this morning.
Because we have a dog like this. The dog will eat any and everything, broken glass, whole walls of kennels, dirt, anything. The dog will eat its way through anything. You take it to the vet, and the vet says, I hope you're feeding this dog blue buffalo.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Really? The dog will eat a shoe.
My dog ate a plastic garbage can the other day, part of it.
Oh, wow.
And yet he has taken up the habit of, he won't eat his, and it's expensive dog food, unless I stand there and watch him at the beginning.
Kiki, he learned that from Kiki.
Kiki told him to do that. The cat told him to do that. Somehow they're talking.
The cat said to Finn, you want to laugh? Hurry up, watch this.
I swear.
Refuse to eat until himself stands and watches.
It just started happening. I used to put it down and he would just, you know, he'd just. But I put it down the other day and he started staring at it. He looked down at it. He starts staring at it. I have to get down eye level with him. I'll go ahead. That's food. That's your dinner. And then he just ate a garbage can.
Where do you think he learned this from?
I have no idea. But the worst part about it is, like, she will bark at people, and I have to tell them, don't worry, she won't bite you, because she doesn't have any teeth left in her mouth. The little nubs that she has left in her mouth, I'm sure they would do no damage, because she has ate so many things that they have filed her teeth down to nothing but nubs.
How old is she now?
She's 15 months.
She has 15 months,
girl,
and her teeth.
You've got a long road ahead of you.
You're going to have to do implants. Hey, that's all right, because I think dog implants are probably cheap.
They're probably much cheaper than human implants.
You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to teach the dog how to eat soft food.
That's true.
If she has little nubby teeth.
And that'll be just that much more investment that you'll have to make.
Uh-huh.
But exactly. You love her. You know you love her, don't you?
She's part of my family.
Boxers are great dogs, but one of our dogs is a boxer mix. And so for chew toys, a big metal dog bowl, that's a fun chew toy. Kevin gives her big slabs of PVC pipe, like the city runs underground to do water delivery. He'll get her a big slab of that, and she'll carry that around in her mouth. A truck tire.
You know, it's really funny. I have a cousin, and if he ate through, like, my wall or something, and then it just had nubby teeth, I wouldn't have him over for Thanksgiving. And yet, we love these animals. I'm serious. I would say that Sean cannot come over to the house anymore because he ate through the wall.
And you would be
And I don't want to look at his teeth.
You would be so disgusted that he had worn his teeth down to nubs.
I would. I could not have Sean over. And my wife would say, but he's your cousin. I don't care.
He's got nub teeth.
I'm not dealing with him. The destruction.
Well, the good part is I don't always have to look at her teeth. She's cute enough and makes up for it.
No, I know. You love her and you always will. That's great. All right. Well, Jessica.
Maybe she needs a thunder shirt.
Yeah. She needs something. I might end up having to put one of those cones on her if I put her back in the kennel.
Oh, those are always good for a laugh.
Well, you can't have a cone on a dog that's like 10 years old. So, I mean, sooner or later, dog's got to come out of the cone. That's unfair.
The dog can't spend the rest of its life in a cone. But maybe, you know, the thunder shirt worked for us, too. Maybe you could put that on her before you leave the house. So she doesn't have to eat her way through the kennel.
I'm getting one for when I drive with my wife. Jessica, thanks a lot. Take care.
Thank you.
I'm not kidding. She drives like a maniac.
I think that's a great idea. You'll feel so much less anxious.
She goes, what are you doing? I said, it's a thunder shirt. Why? Because you're a maniac. You drive like a maniac.
Meanwhile, in the backseat, Madison, dear diary. It's Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
We head to the Emerald Isle for a tale of marriage and murder, fairies and folklore, and still reeks of mystery, magic, and the unmistakable stench of burning flesh.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
It is time now for Bob and Sherry's Small Plates. Some news stories from around the world and the USA that you may have missed. We're going to do one in a couple of minutes here about who is the man, if you're a woman and you were to have a fling on vacation and nobody could point their finger at you, who's the number one guy, and he's an actor, you would rather do it with than anybody else. And we'll bring that to you in a moment. First up, though, about half of us suffer from nomophobia. Nomophobia. You know what that is? That is the fear of being without a mobile phone. Women are apparently far more likely to experience the anxiety than men are. We are now so dependent that about a fifth of us check our mobile phones for emails in bed. And about 50 to 60% of us take our phones when we're on vacation. I think it's even higher than that. And about 60% of us say we are so worried about being out of mobile phone contact. That thing owns us. It really owns us at this point, I think, in history. Research has revealed that about half of us say, what is our biggest regret about ourselves health-wise? What's the biggest regret you have about yourself health-wise?
That I'm not, like, an extreme athlete?
No, it's not taking care of your teeth. That is the number one thing. When people look back on their lives and they say, how could I have led a better life to keep me healthy? Taking care of your teeth is number one. And isn't it the damnedest thing that that's number one? And guess what we don't have for the most part? That would be dental health insurance. Yeah, for most people. All right. So now we are taking a fling. And let's just, this is fantasy. It could be a married woman, could be a single woman, but it's fantasy. Nobody can charge you. You get a free pass. Who's the most handsome man, charming man, amazing man that you would like to spend a holiday weekend with? Just
Clooney?
The two of you. Clooney?
Not even in the top 10.
Wow.
No? Also not number one, Robert Pattinson, Daniel Craig, Harry Styles is number six. Ryan Gosling jumping up to number four. He's not it. Beckham is number two.
Who do are you going to tell me it's Tom one? Hanks?
No. Is it Bradley Cooper?
No. It is Henry Cavill, Superman.
That is not a one I would have guessed, honestly. That and not because number, he's not delicious. I mean,
yeah, it's so unfair. How do you compete? All right. Say you give your girlfriend a pass, right? And she says, okay, I'm going to take that pass and I'm going to be spending the weekend with Superman. You got nothing. I don't care who you are. You got nothing. Can you imagine her talking to her girlfriends when she comes back? What'd you do over the weekend? Oh, I was with Superman for 3 days down at the beach.
You know why I wouldn't have guessed him?
Why?
Because he has a reputation for being moody.
Oh, is that right?
And here's what I don't care to have is a weekend with a moody man. I don't care what he looks right. like.
Yeah, I didn't know that about him, but he's at the top. I was surprised too, because he's not as high profile as some of these other guys like Ryan Gosling, Harry Styles. But Superman is number one on the ladies' list. This is Bob and Sherry.
I read the sweetest thing yesterday afternoon. Child actors, they're all grown up now. Some of them are not even with us anymore. But child actors talk about what it was like to be on these famous, famous, iconic TV shows. We'll start with the original Addams Family, not the one on Netflix with Jenna Ortega, which is so amazing. The original Addams Family, the little girl that was cast to play Wednesday Addams.
She just passed away recently, didn't she? She did.
Lisa Warren. Mm-hmm. She got the job because the casting directors said she looks so much like the actress Carolyn Jones who played Morticia. Clearly mother and daughter, right? But she was only 5 years old and she didn't know how to read. So they would say her lines to her and she would repeat them back till she memorized them.
Have you seen the thing that was on the internet for a couple of weeks when Wednesday came out of her? The little girl from the TV show, teaching Lurch how to dance.
It's been around for a while, yeah.
Yeah. It's adorable to see. If you haven't seen it, Google it. It's really fun
it's
to
so
watch.
Cute.
Yeah.
On Roseanne, the actress who played Darlene, Sarah Gilbert, said that when they first started shooting the show, there was her brother, DJ, was played by a different actor in the pilot. Mm-hmm. And she's a child and he's a child. These two kids could not get along. It was so hostile and aggressive. She was afraid they were going to get rid of her. Instead, they got rid of him and replaced him with a different actor.
Is that right? Wow.
And I never ever knew that. And I used to love that show.
He must have been driven out of his mind because that thing ran for a while. That you missed out on that role, you'd be thinking about that the rest of your life. Go ahead.
Can you imagine what that was like for that kid who was in the pilot and who saw that show go on for years and years and years and go into syndication and turn into mailbox money?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay,
right.
So Jaleel White, who played Urkel, Family Matters. Mm-hmm. The Urkel character was supposed to be just an occasional guest star. Urkel was not supposed to be on that show more than a handful of times. But from the very first moment he was on camera, audiences could not get enough of Urkel. And so they made Jaleel White like a primary character. And he said the rest of the cast was not happy at all when that
because
happened.
He stole the spotlight? Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
What did he ever do anything beyond that role?
He was just in something, a serious role, and I'm trying to remember what it was, and I
saw
it the
kidding.
Other day. But he's done a lot of acting work, yeah.
Oh, good for him. Yeah. Because that kind of a role is a dead end sometimes for actors.
Here's another one that I didn't know. This goes all the way back to the Brady Bunch. So the kid that played Bobby Brady is a natural blonde. And he said, but the whole theme of the show was, here's a blonde mother with three blonde daughters, and here's a brown-haired dad with three brown-haired sons. And so he had sort of like strawberry blonde hair. That's his natural color. So when they offered, his name is Mike Lookinland, and when they offered him the job, they said, but you'll have to dye your hair. And he really didn't understand that he would have to dye his, how much he would have to dye his hair. He was a little boy, and you don't understand that your roots are going to come in, Mike, and we're going to have to touch your roots up. He said, it was so weird. I was 9 years old, and I showed up. I left school one Friday with my regular hair, and I showed up on Monday with brown hair and then looked that way, like until I was a teenager, and I hated it. Hated dyeing my hair.
I bet.
I thought that was really cute. And then finally, we'll end on a classic T-shirt, a TV show, Leave It to Beaver. So Jerry Mather, who played the Beaver, and Tony Dow, who played Wally, they became like overnight giant child star sensations. Mm-hmm. And they had so much fan mail that both Jerry Mather's mom and Tony Dow's mom ended up spending 40 plus hours a week just dealing with fan mail. Their mothers had full-time jobs answering and responding to their fan mail.
The older brother, Tony Dow, just passed away a few weeks ago in California. Yeah.
The network, the TV network, said that most weeks we would get five full bags of mail for just Jerry and Tony, the Beav and Wally.
Well, you know, when you look back on it, I mean, there were very few television shows to choose from. There were three networks back then, right? There was no cable. And the idea that this was a show told from a kid's point of view, which it was, it really connected with kids. You could see why it was mind-blowing for kids to be watching that on TV.
That's just so cute to think about. Five, and these kids, Tony Dow wasn't even an actor. He went along with a friend to the audition, and then cut to you're getting five giant U.S. postal canvas bags of fan mail a week. How trippy that must have been.
Yeah.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
You know, this is such a big country. Some of us don't have an opportunity to visit different parts of America because, you know, travel is not cheap. So if you're on the West Coast or the East Coast or the Deep South, maybe you've never been to the Midwest. And I stopped because Sherry and I love the Midwest, and we've traveled all over it meeting listeners, and my daughter lived in Chicago for several years. I stopped with It's a Midwestern Thing. I have two examples, if you've never been to the Midwest, how you could know a little bit more about that part of the country. This is how Midwesterners politely tell their visitor that it's time to go home. Take a deep breath, then just say, well, really forcefully, and slap your knees with your hands. So it goes like this. Well, other Midwesterners will recognize the signal and say, suppose we should head out. And that's the truth. I swear that's the truth. The second thing that I really liked was, this is from a guy named Big Poppy. My coworker told me that he got banned from a bar when he lived in North Dakota back in 1973 and didn't try going back to this bar for 30 years. But he finally did. And the moment he stepped in, someone yelled, get the hell out of here, Dennis! That is his favorite story of all time. And if I know that's a true story. I know people could say you're making that up, but I have the strong feeling that was a true story. And Dennis gets to tell it the rest of his life. I just love it too. Now, let me throw one more in. I'll squeeze. Miranda did this. At a funeral today where the beloved deceased insisted on a Subway party sandwiches to be served. The deceased ahead of time collected up coupons before her passing to ensure that nobody paid full price. That is flawless Midwestern behavior. And it is. This is Bob and Sherry.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast and the Bob and Sherry Oddcast.
We would love if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again for listening.